This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Mind's Eye.
Hello, and welcome to Guideposts. My name is Danette, and we'll begin today's program with a devotional from Daily Guideposts, Unexpected Grace Coming Home. They returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment, Luke 23, verse 56. The tiny puppy felt lighter than a bird. She snuggled immediately against my chest as I carried her to the car. Black eyes blinked from her furry white face. Love at first sight. It was a busy time for my family, so a trip to Hawaii from Northern California Airport had offered a much-needed break. I flew back alone one day early to pick up little Pippi from Southern California. I would return to pick up my wife and kids at the airport that night, a 10-hour round trip before the 4-hour trip home. I looked at Pippi in the carrier beside me. She whined and scratched to get out. Did she need a potty break? Would she settle down? She missed snuggling with her siblings. Now all she had was me and a very long drive. I whispered a prayer for wisdom and strength. I needed more than I realized. Little did I know an accident ahead would stop traffic cold for almost 3 hours. As we inched along the highway, I had an idea. I reached over and picked her up. She was as light as a feather, small as a bundled pair of socks. I gently set her behind my neck, between my back and the car headrest. Pippi snuggled in, enjoying the sights out the window. She had found her happy place nuzzled against the skin of my neck. Soon I heard the sweet sound of gentle puppy snoring. She rested. My heart, too, rested. Traffic came to a stop, and there was nothing to do but wait and look forward to introducing Pippi to a family filled with anticipation. So we waited and inched our way 400 miles to the airport. Pippi, the puppy turned neck warmer, and me, a guy who just needed to breathe. When the road ahead is long, teach me, Father, to snuggle into your love. By Bill Giovanetti. Digging deeper, read Matthew 11, verse 29. Next, I'll read a story from the book Portraits Encouraged by Dave and Jandra Vecchi. Chapter 24, Like Cream Cheese to a Kosher Bagel. Sometimes a death sentence is the best tool God has for giving new life to a perishing man. It was that way, at least, for David Gordon, when doctors told him he had stage 4 adrenocarcinoma and could expect to live no more than a few months. If anyone had told me at the beginning of 1996 that I would accept Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, I would have bet all the money I ever made against it. It isn't that I disliked Christ or was against him in any way. It's just that I'm Jewish. My mother is Jewish. My father is Jewish. All of my uncles, aunts, and everyone in my ancestry is Jewish. In fact, you can trace my Jewish roots all the way to Abraham. So why would I come to Christ? To me, Christ was someone to whom condemned prisoners and lost souls cling in their most terrible time of need. But I had always lived a good life and conducted myself in a highly moral and ethical manner, not only in my business, but also as a father and with all my fellow human beings. And I had done it all by myself with no help from God. But on December 6, 1996, I was diagnosed with adenocarcinoma, a cancer which has spread to my liver, lungs, pancreas, and bones. My doctors gave me 6 months to live, told me surgery was not an option, and that chemotherapy might not be effective. Worse yet, I was told I would probably be confined to a wheelchair because of the massive tumors in my lower spine and right hip. When we're faced with frightening words like these, the most horrible things enter our minds. First comes panic, then a deep-rooted fear. Whether we choose to fight the cancer or accept imminent death, we face an incredible journey, both emotionally and physically. It also takes a devastating toll on our family members. They feel helpless. At least the one with cancer can do something to fight it, but loved ones have no idea what to do. Anyone who has faced cancer will tell you courage is the one thing you need most of all. And yet, at the time, it seems totally out of reach, unattainable. You feel lost with no way out. That's exactly how I felt on December 6th, 1996. I had no idea that within 2 weeks, my sister Roseanne would help me find a path of rescue. Roseanne had fought her own difficult battles. In her first week of life, she caught a staph infection and lost a lung. At age 2, she was burned when her crib caught fire. At age 13, she was raped, and doctors told her she would never have children. A few years later, she began a long bout with alcoholism, then suffered through a terrible marriage filled with verbal and emotional abuse. In 1991, she learned she had contracted hepatitis C. Finally, she was diagnosed with a rare form of skin cancer. But 7 years ago, she found her way to Christ and gained all the strength, peace, and will to survive that any human being could need. Today, she is married and has given birth, contrary to the doctors, to 2 precious boys. When Roseanne heard about my cancer, she advised me the time had come to look to the New Testament for inner peace and solace. She passionately tried to convince me Christ was the only way to escape my predicament. That was hard for me to stomach. In my entire life, I never asked anything from God. Anyway, it seemed futile for me to try and connect with Jesus. I could envision God saying to me, "Oh, so now you want to come to me? You're faced with cancer and could possibly die soon, so you want me to help you? You didn't need me before, but now all of a sudden you want to do business? I don't think so. The answer is no." As a young boy, I occasionally went to church with friends for weddings, confirmations, and the like. I remember seeing a large cross with a statuette of Jesus hanging on it. This really scared me because, as a Jew, I figured I was partly responsible for putting him there. So how could I turn to him as an adult? I was scared and without a trace of hope. In the 2 weeks following my diagnosis, I checked out a ton of books to understand the cancer. What I discovered didn't encourage me. For the first time in my life, I contemplated suicide. I began to think of the pain my children would have to endure, as well as my own physical agony. Would I be reduced to something like a survivor of a Nazi concentration camp? Would I lie helpless in life support with tubes and IV lines sprouting out of me like some medical pincushion? I couldn't bear the thought. Yet, after a period of calm, I realized I could never take my own life. Instead, I did what my sister suggested. I opened the New Testament and began to explore the scriptures. Many passages spoke powerfully to me, but what stood out most were the promises God seemed to be making. The more I read, the more I saw what God wanted me to do. He was telling me I would be okay no matter what, and all God wanted from me was my faith and a genuine relationship with Himself. I just